want to thank everybody for being here this morning. Because we, as Brother Hall said in his opening this morning also, we believe in the Word of God. We believe that God's Word instruct us, guide us, and ultimately will save us. We adhere to them. So the things that we'll say this morning, I want you to know that they came out of the Scriptures. They're not anything that I've conjured up. It's not my agenda. But I'm only, you know, the instrument. It's God's Word that does all the work when it falls upon good soil. And so we're praying this morning that there's some good soil in the house this morning. We will be talking about what God wants us to know, what Christ says in His Word. And it kind of reminds me of a story I heard once about this man and his son. You know, they got up early one Sunday morning to go off to church and to make it on time for Bible study. They got there on time. And the man took his little son into his age class, and then he went on into the adult class. And then the Bible school teacher made it to class. She went on into her class where the little boy was, and she was in a good mood that morning. And so she went in and she said to herself, I'm going to get my class all excited and fired up and ready to study God's Word this morning. So she said, I'm going to tell them this little thing that I want to get them going. And she walks into the class, and after she greets the class, she says, what's brown has a long fairy tail, climbs trees and jumps from limb to limb. And the little boy hollered out, Jesus! Kind of startled the lady there for a minute. She said, oh, I'll take a minute. Hear the question good. So she asked it again. She said, what's brown has a fairy long tail, climbs trees and jumps from limb to limb? The boy hollered out with a little more vigor, Jesus! It kind of worried her for a minute. That's that. I'm going to ask you one more time. She said, what's brown, has a very long tail, climbs trees and jumps from limb to limb? The little boy hollered out, Jesus! So listen, that's it. And so she stormed out the classroom, went back to the adult class where the little boy's father was. She kneeled down to him. She said, your son is being real disrupted in our class. I asked a simple question, and he keeps hollering out the wrong answer. The man said, my son? He said, that don't sound like my son. She said, yes, your son. He said, well, let me go back there with him and see what's going on. So he went back there with him, and he went in the classroom. He sat down beside his son. He said, now ask the question again. She said, what's brown, has a very long tail, climbs trees and jumps from limb to limb? The boy hollered out, Jesus! Man looked at his son and said, son, what's wrong with you this morning? The boy said, Dad, I know she wants me to say swear, but we in Bible class. We need to be talking about Jesus. So we will be talking about Jesus today. Like I said, I want to thank all the brothers who have come before me this morning to prepare the way for our lesson for today. I want to talk to you this morning. And when we talk, when we have this conversation, I want us to be honest. I mean, really honest with ourselves. And as we ponder this question that is before us today, this morning, because when we really look at it, The answer is obvious. If we would just be willing to put aside and to get rid of all of our preconceived notions and ideas and just follow what Christ has to say. You know, Christ said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. The Bible says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, it's real simple. If we just deny ourselves and follow what Jesus says in his word, we can avoid a lot of the misconceptions, a lot of the false doctrines that's out there, a lot of the things that will cause us to ultimately fall out of favor with God, or to not even know Jesus in the pardon of our sins. The question that is before us this morning is it true? I mean, is it true that once saved, always saved? Is there such a thing as eternal security? In other words, does the Bible teach that once a man or a woman has gone down into that watery grave of baptism, where God has operated on them and washed all of their sins away, cleaned them up totally, guilt-free of sin, debt paid in full, and from that point forward, is this person eternally exempt from ever sinning again? Can this person do, say, or be involved in anything that can cause them to lose their salvation? Cause them to have their name removed from the Lamb's Book of Life? This is our question this morning. This is our focus. This is what we want to concentrate on. And it's a very important question. Therefore, we need to bring some kind of clarity to this issue. It's so important, because there are souls riding on how we understand God's word about this issue. So we want to begin this study this morning this way. We want to approach this question this way, because it's pretty obvious that God would not leave us in a place that we couldn't see ourselves through. So, what we want to do this morning is just let God speak to us. Let the scriptures answer the question. Because all of us have our opinions, and none of them are worth nothing to nobody but ourselves. So we're just going to let God's word teach us this morning. Be an instructor this morning. Be our teacher for this morning. We want to begin with Galatians chapter 4, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And even read these scriptures. I want you to look into these scriptures and see what it is that God is saying within the scriptures. Because sometimes I think a lot of what we do is just glaze over the scriptures and not really look to see what God is saying to us, what God is trying to convey to us. Because the answers are always in the scriptures. And so when we read God's word, let it marinate within your mind. Concentrate and focus upon the words that he's using. Because God does not use anything that isn't reverent, that isn't conducive to what we need in our lives. So just listen to the scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast." James chapter 5 and verse number 12. "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin." 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Peter chapter 2 have they, brethren? The Bible says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Scripture after scripture after scripture teaches us the Bible stands and God stands and Christ stands, the Holy Spirit stands, that all of these are undoubtedly clear and there is no mistake to be made as to what the scripture is saying. These are just a few of many scriptures that gives us a clear view of God's stance on this issue. The Bible is filled with teachings on this subject. But you know what? This is not a new doctrine. Even all the way back in the days of the apostles, the Gnostic teachers taught that the means of your conduct played no part in your salvation, but by the mere fact that you were born a Jew was your security. But they believed that just because you were born in the Jewish family, that was all that you needed to have in order to have your salvation secured. So this doctrine isn't anything new. As a matter of fact, and even in our day and time, a very prominent denominational speaker was asked a question. And his reply to the question that he was asked, but the question that he was asked was this: how big of a sin do one have to commit before they lose their salvation? How big of a sin? And this prominent person was Billy Graham. He would ask this question: how big of a sin do you have to commit before you lose your salvation? And his reply was this: I am convinced that once a person sincerely and honestly trusts Christ for his or her salvation, they become a member of God's family forever, and nothing can change that relationship. Well, you got part of it right. You see, when we commit to the will of God, when we obey Him according to the scriptures, and we get buried in that water grave of baptism after we have repented of our sins, we do become a part of God's family. That's how we become a part of God's family. But let it be known, church, this morning, and let it be clear to each and every one of us that that in no means guarantees you a home in heaven if you fail to hold up to your end of the bargain. You see, Christ has never given us anything before getting the soil ready. You know, it's like growing a garden. You know, you got to get the soil ready before you plant your vegetables and your fruits and all the things that you plan to plant. If you get your soil ready, then you plant your fruits, they begin to grow. But you have to continually to cultivate that garden, to keep the weeds out, to give the nourishment that those vegetables and those fruits and things need to maintain a healthy growth. So it is with our Christian life. If we do not do the necessary things that we need in our lives to continue that path with Christ, our salvation is not guaranteed. So to answer the question, once saved, always saved, no such a thing. If a person is going to eventually live with God in heaven, he has to become a child of God, and then he has to live as a child of God until death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Totally contrary to what the Bible teaches. Listen to this scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. The Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Now you see, why would you need to take heed if you couldn't fall? Why would I need to guard my salvation if I couldn't lose it? The Bible is explicit in clarifying this situation, because there are a lot of teachers out there in the religious world who teach that once you have become saved, that you can't lose that salvation. And when they find those who appear to have fallen, you know what they say? He never was saved in the first place. But listen to all the scriptures that we've been reading. They've been prefaced by saying, brethren, or if the child of God, you know, And these are men who is being led by the Holy Spirit to say these things, to write these and record these things. So you mean tell me they're going to call someone a brother who was not a brother? I mean, the head of these men is Christ. And so if Christ wants to teach us about a certain thing, it's clear to me that his messengers, he would have them clear on it before they go out teaching it. If we're going to listen to them, Paul said, be ye a follower of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. So these men are not just talking things off the top of their heads. They're speaking as the Holy Ghost has equipped them to say these things. But we want to let the scriptures teach us this morning. You know, I don't want you to think that I'm up here giving you my opinion or my suggestions, because I'm not. I want to give you the script. I want to give you what God says in his word. And when the ultimate test comes, it's going to be how you respond to the scriptures. You know, no one can make you obey the word of God. It's a voluntary thing. But let me tell you, it's to your best interest that you do it like the scriptures say do. Because in the end, when everything has been said and done, the only thing that will be standing is the word of God. And we're going to have to answer to that word. The things done in this body, as the scripture said, whether they be good or bad. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, there goes that word again. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You see, the balance in all of this, God gives us what we need to be doing. And then he gives us what happens if we doesn't do those things. He said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then he says, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Well, the opposite has to be true then. That if you fail to do these things, then you will fall. God clearly gives us the correct answer to this question. And we need not listen to all of these TV evangelists, all of these sidewalk preachers, all of these folks that standing at the grocery stores and handing out these little New Testament Bibles and telling you this and that. What we need to adhere to and listen to and get our information from is the Word of God. Yes, the Bible tells us to stand to show ourselves approved unto God. You see, when I stand before God, I can't say to God, well, Lord, Brother John told me this. I trusted in Brother John. I can't tell him that, because he has made it possible for me to have my very own copy of his word. As a matter of fact, this is our contract, each and every individual's contract between you and God, a personal contract. No one can deny you of knowing what God has to say. It's up to you. It's up to you. Peter here tells the Christian that yes, you can be lost. If not, why must the Christian make sure he stays saved if he can't be lost? But someone may say that these people were never saved in the first place. But this cannot be the case. Because Peter, as we said, calls them brethren. Calls them brethren. Peter knew who was and who wasn't a child of God. And he always knew that a child of God can also be lost. So the Bible does teach that one can fall from grace and be lost. But you know what? We've been talking about this question. Once saved, always saved. And we've been giving scriptures that point out clearly that that's a false doctrine and one that we do not need to put any value in. And that we need to trust in what the Word of God says. And it gives us all of these scriptures that teaches us that we can fall from grace if we don't keep on the path that would keep us walking in line with God. But you know, there's a twist to this question that we need to look at this morning. The once saved, always saved. And we chose this morning for our text scripture, John 10, verse 27 and 28. Let's go back to that scripture for a minute. John 10, verses 27 and 28. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, those that hold on to this notion, or who promote this doctrine of once saved, always saved, this is one of their favorite scriptures, especially verse number 28. But let's see if this scripture really upholds what they're trying to say, that once a person is saved, always saved. Verse 28 said, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a true statement. But you know what? That's God's part. God does that. When we submit to God, can't nobody take it away from us. Once I become a child of God, who can take my salvation? Can't nobody take my salvation. I mean, nobody can pluck me out of his hand. But you know what? They rush right on by verse 27. Because that's the chilling part of the whole question here. See, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus said three things there. He said, my sheep. Now he's not talking about anyone else. He's not securing anyone else's salvation. If you are not his sheep, your salvation is not secure. As a matter of fact, to even have salvation, you have to be his sheep. But he says, my sheep, to indicate to us that there's a place that we have to be with God and with Christ in order to have this salvation, to have this security. God does teach us security. But this security is based upon our relationship with him. We have plenty of security. Just ask Faith about Job. Satan said, you got a hedge around him. I can't get to it. they're not willing to hear the voice of Jesus, then we're not his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. See, that's the other part. He knows us. How does he know us? Because we hear his voice. If we do not hear his voice, he does not know us. What does Matthew chapter 7 say over there? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of my Father, but he that doeth the will of my Father. You see when he said, my sheep hear my voice, that's an action. That's being obedient to his word. In other words, my sheep obey me. They do what I say do. And when they do what I say do, I know them. Because they do what I say do. And because they do what I say do, they follow me. They're not going to follow anyone else. When the sheep heard a call for his sheep, they're not going to run off in behind another shepherd. Because they know his voice. And that's the only voice they're willing to obey. And that's the way we are as Christians. We're supposed to hear the voice of Jesus, to obey the voice of Jesus, and in return, he'll know who we are by our obedience to him. And then we follow him. Now that's what the scripture says. But they want to run to verse 28, talking about the security part, without first realizing what we have to do in order to obtain that security. But you know, the twist to this question is this. The very people who speak the loudest with this argument, according to the scriptures, they can't even make this argument. In other words, this is not a denominational question. This is not a denominational question. This is a Church of Christ question. This is a question we need to be asked. Because I tell you what, I cannot fall out of a tree unless I'm up in the tree. I cannot fall off of the rooftop unless I am up on the rooftop. I cannot parachute out of a plane unless I am in the plane. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that you can't ask this question if you have not been saved. The only one who can ask this question, the only one who can contemplate whether a person has eternal security, whether a person is once saved, always saved, are us. This is a question for us. How many of us have asked this question? You know, we say, I'm a member of the Lord's church. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. But you know what? A lot of us are asking this question, or at least making this statement that once saved, always saved. And I'll tell you why. Why is it that on a particular Sunday morning, we can have over 220 people in our audience for that morning, and then that evening, 75? All right. What is that saying? Is that saying that I don't believe that once saved, always saved? Is that saying that I don't believe that I'm a member of the Lord's church? I believe the Bible teaches preachers are against that. Is that what we're saying? By showing up on Sunday morning and failing to come back on Sunday evening? Is that what we're saying? Or are we saying as the denomination of the world says that I'm a member of the Church of Christ, so I'm all right. I don't have to be back Sunday evening because I'm already a member. You know what that's saying? That's saying once saved, always saved. They're saying I don't have to do all the things that I need to do to continue to build upon my faith and to build upon my salvation and to guarantee for myself that I and that in the end I won't lose my salvation. You see, this is a question for us. This is the question we need to answer. Why is it that we need teachers? Brother Darrell is just surveying the whole, he's trying to find teachers because we have young ones who need to be taught. But we have a lack of teachers. Why is it that we can't find teachers to teach God's word? Is it saying, I was saying that I got mine. You know, I'm all right. I don't need to find somebody else. Or is our action speaking louder than our word? You know, this is a question for us. I'm talking to us right now. You know, because the denominational world, they can't ask that question. Because you have to be a child of God to ask that question. So I'm talking to us this morning. Why is it that we can drive all the way out here on Wednesday night and to discover that tonight is song practice and we'll get back into our cars and drive away? What are we saying? Are we saying that I'm a member of the Church of Christ? My salvation is secure? You see, my point is that this is a question that we need to answer. This is a question for the Church of Christ, for the Christian. And so often and so many times, we're the ones who saying, once saved, always saved. Right. Because our actions speak far louder than what our words say. So I want us to be very clear this morning. The Bible does teach that God offers the child of God security, but it's conditioned upon our relationship being maintained with Christ. We cannot become a child of God and then just go about our everyday life doing any and everything that we so choose to do. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that the love of Christ constrained us. It constrained us. We are confined. We don't have the room to do anything and everything that we so choose to do. So how are we answering the question this morning? What's our stand on this question? Do we truly believe that we can lose our salvation? And if we truly do believe that, then what are we doing as children of God to make sure that that doesn't happen in our life? What are we doing as children of God to be examples for those who have come after us, the younger ones? You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to be teachers, yet we have the need that someone teach us again. First principles. See, this religion is a teach me, then I go and teach someone type of religion. what God wanted you to be saved. You had to be taught. We all had to be taught of God. And then after being taught of God, God wants us to then teach. But if we sit around and we never do anything for the Lord, we're saying the same thing. That we get so down on the religious world of sin, when we are the ones who's saying it. And when it matters most, when we say it. What's our thinking this morning? We started off this lesson by saying we want to have this conversation. And this conversation that we're having today, we're trying to appeal to each other and to make all of us aware of our responsibility as a child of God. It's not no small thing. It's a big thing. God depends on us to do His bidding. He tells us to let our light shine. To let it shine. That the world can see who God is. What's our mindset this morning? Because it all starts and ends right there. It all starts and ends right there. What are we thinking? Do we think that because I come to church on Sunday morning that I can leave and I don't have to be back the next Sunday? I don't have to pick up my Bible and study? I don't have to treat my neighbor as I want to be treated? I don't have to do all those things that God's Word teaches us to do? Because if we do that, we're saying that my salvation is secure. I've been stamped. I don't need to do anything else because I'm guaranteed a matching robe and a crown. No man, no sir. So as we have this conversation this morning, I plead, and my plea to us is that we really be honest with ourselves. Because the answer is very obvious. If we just are willing to be honest and to look at what God is saying and to not look for the easy way out, we got to be obedient to the Word of God. That's the only way. So I'm going to pose another question to us this morning. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, and verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. The Bible says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." You see, in this verse here, there's a necessary inference going on here.